Bush Pekah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my soulmate and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, Erev Tov, my dear, and Shalom, saints of God. We are continuing tonight with a very important teaching that without proper understanding of this idiomatic phrase of in that day or the day, used often by the prophets of Scripture, could lead you in the wrong direction concerning end time prophecy. Actually, it just would, and we see it often. First, let's ask God to join us.
Abba, Father, we do covet your divine presence, for you are God of all gods, and we are grateful to be able to serve you. We ask for your divine protection over the Druze people who love Israel and the Orthodox Christians suffering greatly in Syria at the hands of Islam. We pray for those listening right now who are afflicted. Hear their prayers, O Lord. We lift up to your throne the salvation of the still uncommitted. And we pray for all our leaders. May your wisdom saturate them to accomplish your will. In Yeshua's name, amen.
We also want to thank those who have been praying for our family member, Thomas, the 48-year-old who had a massive stroke. He is finally progressing, sounding out a few words, and starting to use his right leg, which was totally paralyzed. So keep praying, saints, for we know God is listening. Amen. And right now, we are in the middle of a three-week period of Jewish mourning leading up to August 3rd called Tish B'Av, the saddest day on the Hebrew calendar, for it is the anniversary of both temples being destroyed on the 9th of Av, along with other Jewish tragedies on the 9th of Av as well.
Different years, of course.
Yes, and we'll expand on all that next week.
So how's that ceasefire in Gaza coming along?
Well, it's not. All they say it's going well, but for reasons we have highlighted often, it is not.
Yeah, Hamas won't leave or give up its artillery.
That is the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
But they are so short of fighters, they are now recruiting teenagers. Anyhow, Israel continues to look for hostages while ridding Gaza of more Hamas. Here a little, there a little.
But making some good progress.
Yes. They are now in Deir al-Balah in central Gaza for the first time, and one of the few remaining Hamas holdout groups.
Sadly, the political foundation beneath Netanyahu is rapidly eroding.
Yeah. Now that the ultra-Orthodox Shas party left the government over the dispute of mandatory military service for those who study Torah full-time. Now he has a fractured Knesset along with his looming legal battles and governing from a position of deep vulnerability. Unless he can rapidly reassemble a functioning coalition, Israel appears headed toward another election in 2026. A development that could reshape both Israel's domestic trajectory and its international posture.
Would the people vote in a left liberal government?
Well, let's just say that if we do have another year before Christ calls us up, a left-wing government could take its place and be more willing than Bibi to give up a part of Jerusalem for peace. Actually, even if we are raptured, a likely left-wing government will take its place.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Looks like inevitable at some point. Also, Judea and Samaria is turning into a major headache between Palestinians and the Jewish settlers, both claiming it's their land.
Then there's Syria.
Ceasefire finally seems to be holding as of today as the Bedouin army along with Syrian rebels has pulled back from Sweda, which is south of Damascus and home to the Israel-loving Druze community who, along with the Greek Orthodox Christians, have been brutally persecuted and killed over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and we mean brutally.
Yes, over 1,000 have been killed. Even an American citizen.
Mm.
More details are in this month's newsletter on shofarministries.net, but we wonder what President Trump will do about Syria's new leader, ex-Al-Qaeda al-Sharaa, whose sanctions we lifted last month.
Which enabled Turkey to send them lots of weapons.
Yeah. But al-Sharaa says he is innocent of these attacks. Well, he surely can't control them. Israel did bomb areas in and around his headquarters in Damascus to send him a message.
To stop the attacks, or you're next.
We'll see if the ceasefire holds, so pray that it doesn't pick up again. And explosions continue in Iran from undercover agents against the regime. Iran continues to strengthen its ballistic missile program while insisting that their nuclear program will continue, but only for energy, which no one believes. And if that was the case, why hide it 300 feet underground? Or why do you need 12 plants?
And they are also sending weaponry to the Houthis in Yemen.
They are, using various smuggling routes, especially via Oman and the Arabian Sea. And just this morning, the Houthis fired two more missiles toward Israel, but were thankfully intercepted. Iran's foreign minister said just yesterday that no direct talks, face-to-face, only through intermediators.
And the Russia war continues.
It does, as more weapons continue to be sent to Ukraine. But Trump continues to give Putin more time to come to his senses, but does threaten more sanctions that are coming, and other countries are threatening as well.
And lastly, maybe some good news.
Oh, yes, this is good news. Israel has a new research book. They're reading the New Testament. And by the Israeli media reactions to it, well, it reveals Israel's enthusiasm with the this rediscovery of the New Testament. And they're saying it's a uniquely Jewish book. And Jesus, as a Jewish teacher, is worth listening to.
How sweet is that?
I wonder if they're reading Matthew 24, where it says to flee to the mountains when they see the abomination.
Well, it is the first book in the New Testament.
That's right. So I guess they'll know what to do.
All right, then. You can send your end-time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are always appreciated, and any donation will add you to our mailing list for our newsletters and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and newsletters are archived for your learning convenience.
Okay. All right, so we're teaching on the importance of understanding a certain idiom called in that day or the day.
Which means it hasn't happened yet.
Exactly. With an exception in Genesis, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. Anyhow, for sure in eschatology, that particular day begins at the rapture that will soon start the darkness of the tribulation, which represents the evening portion until the light comes back with his wife to set up his kingdom on earth for the remainder of that day.
So, actually, the remaining 993 years on earth till eternity.
That's right, because the first 7 years will be in heaven, celebrating our wedding and our honeymoon. And then we return with Jesus, as noted in Revelation 19, where in verse 7, we are called his wife.
Hallelujah.
And we left off last week discussing 2 Peter 3, where contextually he is talking about the last days. He writes about creation, but also the judgment. And what he now says is a huge disclosure that at the end of 6,000 years from the creation of Adam, judgment will come.
While the righteous are in heaven.
Yes. Let's read that in 2 Peter 3:8.
But, beloved, do not forget this one thing.
Right. And as we said last week, Peter is nearing death. So this is like a deathbed revelation to point out that we need to remember this one thing, which means it must be pretty important.
Definitely.
Okay, start over.
But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day.
You must understand this, especially for next week when we get into Hosea chapter 6. And by the way, 1st and 2nd century learned men taught this same typology regarding the 6 days of creation, which is also confirmed in the early Jewish writings found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, because of possible human error in our calendars, we can never be sure when the 6,000 years was up.
So we rely on clues.
And there is a boatload of them. That leads us to believe we are very close. And now with the discovery of the Essene calendar, also found with the Dead Sea Scrolls, we are much more certain that we are at the very end of the 6,000 year mark.
So, the end of the sixth day.
And about to enter the seventh day. And when you hear them say we have peace and security, as stated in 2 Thessalonians 5:3, it's time to go up.
You know, that can still be this year.
Well, we sure hope so. Or at the very, very, very latest, next year, which really depends on the year Jesus ascended into heaven. Was it 32 A.D. or 33 A.D.? And there is much division on that. But this month's newsletter explains our leaning to 32 A.D. and why so many think it's 33 A.D. And we'll go over that next week. But knowing just some basic Jewish roots can clarify many of our waverings. The other clue will be the talk to divide Jerusalem, where Israel shares its sovereignty over some part of Jerusalem, that burdensome stone. And perhaps it'll be the Temple Mount, for there is already talk of making it a place for all peoples and all faiths, where Israel can still build its temple as a bribe.
That's where the Roman Pope comes in.
Likely, for who better to control it, which would be acceptable to the Muslims, who they would join a one-world church for all faiths, and many will sign a legal document to close the deal.
Which could be the Daniel 9 covenant.
Well, you know, it could be, for it doesn't say what kind of covenant, so it could be a religious one. So anyway, now it's easier to see why God, in his word, would use the phrase, in that day, or on that day, or sometimes even just the day, which in eschatology always refers to the seventh day that lasts 1,000 years. The first 7 years of that last 1,000 years is the dark part of that day, called the tribulation. Therefore, that day or in that day can refer to either the dark part or to the light part of the day when referencing Yeshua's return.
And to set up his messianic kingdom on earth.
Which is why in creation God put the first part of every 24 hours to be the night. You know, at each sundown the Hebrew calendar date changes to the next number. Okay, so we're going to repeat a lot tonight, for it's important, as this is a picture type of God's judgment coming first in the 7,000th year before the light of Jesus returns. So still the seventh day, but lasting 1,000 years with darkness coming first and then the light.
Okay, one more time.
Okay. The tribulation comes first in that day, representing spiritual darkness. Then comes Yeshua's kingdom, representing the light.
Now, that's a great typology. And, you know, we have more confirmation.
Right. This is the one from Genesis that I said I would talk about, and it's really a gold nugget. So think about this. Have you ever wondered why God told Adam and Eve this command in Genesis 2:17?
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.
But they didn't die.
Oh, you know, most say that meant spirituality.
Yes.
Spiritually.
Yeah. When taken literally and applying the day as 1,000 years, then it makes sense because Adam lived 930 years. So he did die before the first day of 1,000 years was over in day one of the seven. And to confirm this, when you look up the Hebrew word die in Genesis 2:17, it is muth, M-U-W-T-H, which is number 4191. It absolutely does mean a physical dead body. So not just spiritually is meant here.
Which, of course, they experienced as well.
Oh, deeply. So again, when you read in scripture in that day or that day in eschatology, it always refers to the last 1,000 years of man's time. So if you are reading from the prophets, as in Daniel, who covers a lot of history, if you do not see the words in that day, it usually means it was fulfilled after Daniel wrote about it, but before the New Testament.
So, still prophetic to Daniel, but way before today's generation.
Right. As in the case of the little horn of Daniel 8, verse 9, which prophesies of a coming ruler after Daniel's time, who we know to be Antiochus Epiphanes, who was raised by the Romans in Rome, therefore has been fulfilled, but is not the later horn that comes in the latter time, in verse 23.
In other words, during the tribulation.
Yes. Because Antiochus Epiphanes was a type of the still coming Antichrist as another little horn, also out of Rome, which is also referenced by Daniel in chapter 7, verse 8, and in chapter 8, verse 23, but in the latter days, which refers to any time after Jesus, days 4, 5, or 6. And we have confirmation and are very familiar with this dude from Revelation 13, where the second little horn represents the beast, himself having 10 horns, meaning rulers under him.
So this beast comes from Rome?
Well, according to scripture, he will, for it does say in Daniel 9, verse 26, that the Antichrist will come from the same peoples who destroyed the temple in 70 A.D.
And that, of course, was Rome.
Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's not a Muslim country, as some are thinking. And actually, most don't know that the Vatican created the Muslim religion by deceptively convincing an Arab named Muhammad to help Rome fight its enemies to conquer Jerusalem. That plan fell through when the Muslims grew strong quite quickly and decided they also wanted to take Jerusalem.
Well, yeah, and still do.
That's right. And by the way, so does the Vatican. And anyway, they had organized their own army, you're all familiar with it, called the Crusaders, and promised anyone that joined that the Pope would give them time off in purgatory just for joining the fight.
Yeah, that is true.
Saints of God, did you ever wonder why Pope John Paul kissed the Quran in 1999? Or that the Muslims also pray on beads? And the women wear clothing similar to the nuns? Well, that is until recently, although some orders still do.
Yeah, all covered up.
Mm-hmm. You know, about 10 years ago, we archived a program on our webpage on all this. It's dated 2/11/14. And our resource for this teaching was Chick Publications.
And still on the YouTube.
It is. You got to check it out.
Called How the Vatican Created Islam.
It does. Okay, we've got a few minutes to look at some in that day scriptures. So, honey, please read Zechariah 9, verse 16.
The Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people.
Who's he talking about?
Israel.
Of course. Israel as a whole will get saved. When?
In that day.
This is referring to during the tribulation, for we know they will receive him at the war of Gog and Magog. Again, the same expression can mean either the tribulation or the millennial kingdom on earth. But you will know the difference by the context surrounding it. The bride will be gone when all Israel will recognize their Messiah.
As it says in Ezekiel 38:23 and 39:22.
So Ezekiel's war will be in that day. Again, meaning in the tribulation. So when you hear a preacher say that war could come at any time or before we leave, does not know eschatology from a Jewish perspective. As well, Ezekiel also says that Israel's enemies will get an evil thought.
Who gives them an evil thought?
Remember when it was time for Ahab's judgment, how God's divine counsel in heaven talked about putting certain thoughts in Ahab's mind and also his ministers?
In 1 Kings 22.
And a spirit came forward and said he would put a lying spirit in the mouths of all Ahab's prophets. And God okayed it because it was a judgment. Well, we're going to pick this all up again next week. But meanwhile, it would be good for you to read Zechariah, all of it. But this time, underline every time you see the words in that day or that day. And it's in there quite a bit. And I think you will agree. It always refers to the future, and the bride is not here. For the first 7 years, while evil takes its course, and then finally removed when Jesus sets up his kingdom on a cleaned up earth. That's just great news. Let me ask you, are you saved? Are you the bride of Christ? Is Yeshua really Lord over your life? This is really important. If you ever wonder whether you are like an in-name only Christian that's talked about in Matthew 7 verses 21, 22, and 23, who only has a head knowledge of him and not a true heart conviction with no desire to be in his word, get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy might steal this seed away. Repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He is the Messiah to anyone who wants him. I'll leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, that's Jerusalem, you're going to prosper in many ways. Psalm 122. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.